You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later on in the show, Jim, we're going to review some new releases from Margot Price and Juice WRLD. But first, in honor of our show going indie, it's songs about new beginnings.
Yes, Greg, for 15 years, we recorded the show and partnered with WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. We are now an independent production, which means there's a lot more stuff to carry. It seems like that's part of it. Thankfully, we have the continued support and faith and hard work of Andrew Gill and Alex Claiborne, our producers. But it kind of feels like starting over, doesn't it? So we thought, in honor of this new start for Sound Opinions after an extraordinary 770 episodes, let's do songs about new beginnings, starting over, starting fresh, renewal.
Yes, fresh starts. There's nothing like it. It's a great feeling. And when we bandied this idea about a few weeks ago, I immediately thought of a song by one Nina Simone. One of my favorite singers of all time, singing a great song, which is probably not in her typical wheelhouse. Normally, people think of Nina as a very strident, politically oriented singer, deep emotional wells of feeling in whatever she touches.
For sure.
And here she is tackling a Broadway show tune. Mm. The last thing you would expect from Nina Simone, but in fact, the song that she put out in 1965... on her I Put a Spell on You album, is, to me, one of her signature tracks because it indicates what she can do with material that some may deem as slight or not worthy of that voice. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good, baby. All right, I got it. I'm with you. This is a track called Feeling Good. It was written co-written by Anthony Newley for the Broadway musical The Roar of the Grease Paint, The Smell of the Crowd, 1964, was a huge Broadway hit. The song itself has been covered by numerous artists. Everyone from John Coltrane to the Pussycat Dolls have done versions of Feeling Good.
There's some range.
I'm telling you, man. But Nina was one of the first to record it, and her version, I think, is the definitive one. She just owns it. And when the horns kick in on this song, man, if you don't want to move and just swagger across the room feeling great, I don't know what's wrong with you. It's Feeling Good by Nina Simone on Sound Opinions.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world in a bold world for me.
Nina Simone with Feeling Good, exactly the way I'm feeling. I think you share that opinion, Mr. DeRogatis.
I do. It is encouraging to be starting over. But also, Greg, this is the first recording that we've done in months and months where we are in the same room.
That's true.
You're far enough away, I don't know if I could hit you.
We're socially distant, yes.
Yeah, we are social distancing, but at least you and I are together. I'm going to go with my picks. I have two of them, which would be considered part of that dread easy listening genre, but both of them have a surprising amount of depth far beyond, you know, the platforms where I first heard them, which was 70s AM pop hit radio, right? My first New Beginning song is I Can See Clearly Now by Johnny Nash. And everybody knows this song, right? Everybody of a certain age.
Yeah.
You know, the backstory of Johnny Nash is fascinating. He's an African-American singer-songwriter born in Houston, right? He gets signed to a major label early on because ABC Records thinks he's going to be a competitor to Johnny Mathis, right? A smooth, suave black man with a wonderful, smooth voice, right? Mm-hmm. Seductive, classy, cool. But there's so much more to Johnny Nash. Even though he never kind of colors outside the AM hit lines, right? There's a depth to him and a fascination with roots music. He is fascinated with Jamaica. This hit, I Can See Clearly Now, is the first major hit anywhere in the world recorded by a non-Jamaican musician who traveled to Kingston to record there. But the Johnny Nash story, this would make a heck of a movie. He also formed early on his own independent record company with his manager. Among the records they put out in the early days were the first recordings by the Cowsills,
mm-hmm.
right? The band on which the Partridge Family was modeled. And he also made some recordings when he was going back and forth to Jamaica with a very young Bob Marley and Peter Tosh.
Mm-hmm.
He lost the rights to those songs. He wasn't a very good businessman. And sadly, at 79, just recently he witnessed most of his master recordings destroyed in that fire that swept through the Universal Archives out in the West Coast. But I Can See Clearly Now, it's about, I had some stuff in my way. Bad weather, obstacles, he could see them. And now he sees them clearly, and he is finding a way around them. The dark clouds are parting, and it's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. Sunshine will be a recurring metaphor throughout this episode. I think we could all use the clouds to part in 2020 and start to see some sun. Here's Johnny Nash, I Can See Clearly Now, a big hit in 1972.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, 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 bright sunshiny day. Gonna be a bright, 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 sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be a bright, 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 sunshiny day.
Johnny Nash, I Can See Clearly Now. I know you love this song too, Greg, but you love pop radio in the 70s.
Well, the 70s pop radio is a huge influence, and I love the Jamaican vibe by the non-Jamaican on the song.
Yes.
I'm going to push through to the 80s now, Jim, and one of the signature songs by one of the signature bands of that decade, R.E.M., riffing on Cole Porter's Begin the Begin.
Mm.
The second begin in the Cole Porter song is spelled B-E-G-U-I-N-E. He is referring to a Caribbean dance.
Right.
And, you know, Of course, Michael Stipe, Dada poet that he is, you know, says begin, yeah, spelling it the same way both times, talking about renewal in a way in the framework of political activism at the height of the Reagan 80s, saying basically, get off your butt, be the revolution. You're the person that can do this. So, you know, this shout out against conformity and complacency began the band's fourth album, Life's Rich Pageant. Everybody was talking about the fact that R.E.M. had discovered its political consciousness. I think it was always there. It was just a little more vague and disguised beneath some of those lyrics. But here, Michael Stipe was really proclaiming the necessity of, you know, stepping up and renewing yourself and in the same way, renewing your community. So it's never too late is basically what he's saying. The key lines for me, to paraphrase, the finest example of what the revolution is or could be is you. He put it right on us in the song. Yeah. You can do this. Begin the Begin from R.E.M. on Sound Opinions.
Birdie in the hand for life's rich demand. The insurgency began and you missed it.
Begin the Begin from R.E.M. starting over politically in the 80s, just like we were starting over as a radio show in the 2000s.
I wish we had the R.E.M. back from when R.E.M. was R.E.M., Greg. I rushed to get my list together first because I knew you might claim this song. It's one by the Velvet Underground from the third self-titled Velvet's album in 1969, Beginning to See the Light. What's fascinating about that third album to me is not only the mix of very slow, introspective, slowcore, the birth of slowcore, sonically, some of those songs, but also the general optimism even in the rockers, and Beginning to See the Light as one of those rockers. This is the band that gave us Heroin. This mm-hmm. is the band that gave us Sister Ray on those first two albums. And suddenly, Lou Reed is singing songs like Some Kind of Love, Pale Blue Eyes, Jesus, I'm Set Free, and Beginning to See the Light. He is beginning to see the light. Some people work very hard. They never get it right. But he is finding another way. There are problems in these times, but ooh, none of them are mine, Lou sings. And I just love that. And the song ones with that rousing coda of how does it feel to be loved? I feel love. You know, we have been hearing from many of our listeners since the news that we were going to be going independent. We hope you're not going away. Don't go away. It's nice to be loved, Greg. And I love you. And I love the Velvet Underground. And I love Ellen Willis. Shout out to one of my all-time favorite rock critics who named the anthology of her work, pioneering female rock critic writing for The New Yorker. She named it after this song, Beginning to See the Light, Sex, Hope, and Rock and Roll is the book. Read it, kids. Here's the Velvets on Sound Opinions. Velvet Underground, 1969, the third album. I love that song.
Oh, yeah.
I know you're going to argue with me that you would have played the 1969 live version.
They're all great.
There's no bad Velvets. Yeah. We'll be back after a break to share more of our favorite songs about new beginnings as we celebrate the rebirth of Sound Opinions. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from Chicago, distributed nationally by PRX. Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My partner is Greg Kot. And this week, we are sharing songs, some of our favorites, about new beginnings in honor of our own. After 15 years with WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio, we are now an independent production. Greg, we got a lot of bills to pay. You better go a little faster on that hamster wheel. But you have another song for us first.
I do indeed. Arcade Fire with Ready to Start. Very appropriate theme for today's show, Jim, from their third album, The Suburbs, in 2010. I love that album. I love this song in particular. You know, that line about the emperor has no clothes. And it's often easier, more convenient to ignore that. Okay, we're cool with that. We're going to conform. There's some things we don't really like about what's going on, but it's easier to get in line and sort of get what's yours and not worry about everything else. And this song is about an awakening, much like Begin the Begin by R.E.M. We're talking about a political awakening, but also a personal one, where the complacency starts to fall away when you realize you're just spinning your wheels. Talk about a hamster, you know. This is an example of getting off that spinning wheel. Now I'm ready to start. My mind is open wide. I'm seeing the world in a new way. I am beginning to see the light. Now I'm ready to start. Talk about a song about fresh starts. It's Arcade Fire with Ready to Start on Sound Opinions.
All the kids have always known that the emperor wears no clothes, but they bow down to him anyway. This is better than being alone. If I was scared, if I was bored, you know I would. And if I was yours, but I'm not. Now you're knocking at my door, saying please come out with us tonight. But I would rather be alone than pretend I feel alright.
That is Arcade Fire, Ready to Start. I love the way that song just keeps surging and surging. It really just keeps building, and it could go on for another 10 minutes. And sometimes in concert, they would stretch it out, and it would sound great. I said, I never want this to end. It's a great song.
Well, I love that. Greg, I'm going back to 70s AM pop radio again. Young Jim, growing up, listening to Casey Kasem, I was struck by some songs. I knew even then that some were cheese, but there were others, even though they were big hits, that seemed to have a different element. I'm going to talk about The Carpenters and We've Only Just Begun, which I feel Sound Opinions has only just begun. Now, The Carpenters were dismissed by many in the 70s because they were so blatantly commercial. And this song in particular literally started as a commercial. Mm-hmm. A guy named Paul Williams. Hey, Kiss, Phantom of the Opera, and a million other songs, right? Paul Williams wrote this for the Crocker National Bank in California because it was trying to get more young depositors. In 1970. And Richard Carpenter, who was the blatant commercial mastermind of the Carpenters, while his sister was the soul, Karen Carpenter, he heard this song. He decides for the two of them to record it. What is extraordinary about their version, as with every Carpenter song, is the soulful, deep, smoky, multi-leveled vocals of Karen Carpenter. It is never just about the lyrics that she is singing. And no, I don't buy the 90s revisionist postmodern reappreciation of Carpenter's that we just feel that way now because we know that she had a very tragic ending. She died at the age of 32 in 1983 of heart failure brought on by eating disorders. Mm-hmm. Was a very troubled woman.
Yeah.
You know, Richard Carpenter was troubled as well. Problems with drugs. They were pushed to stardom by their parents. And the parents kind of, especially the mom, oversaw those early recording sessions. It was all rather creepy. But the music endures, and there's a blatant sort of pain and a wistfulness and a longing for something better. When Karen is singing, you know, so many roads to choose. We're only starting out walking and we've got to learn to run, you know? I love the perseverance. And I think it's a testament to the depth of the song. And in particular, it was nothing before her version of it. That, yeah, you had a lot of easy listening covers. Barry Manilow, Perry Como, Johnny Mathis. But Curtis Mayfield did a version of this song in 71 on Curtis Live, and Bat for Lashes has a killer version that her fans are adoring much more recently. You know, the Carpenters had the goods. They had the cheese, but they had the goods. We've only just begun on Sound Opinions.
So many roads to choose. We start out walking and learn.
Flashback 1970 made an impact on me when I was six, Greg. The Carpenters, we've only just begun.
I have to say, I've done a 180 on Karen. I was not a fan, you know. I wasn't cool enough to like Karen Carpenter, you know, and the Carpenters when they were big hits on AM radio. But I owe it to my brother-in-law for allowing me to see the light about her. And what a voice. And so understated.
Yes.
It's almost like you need that voice now because there's a lot of histrionic singing out there, let's face it. And she was just so, you know, understated in the way she was able to express really, as you said, very deep emotions. And it just made a huge impact on me later on.
Yeah.
So I
forgot to say, a very, very good drummer. Now, on some of those recordings, Hal Blaine, the great West Coast session musician, played. And he said it was only because he hit much harder.
Mm-hmm.
And in the recording studio, you know, you had X amount of time. You had to do it one take, right? But he said Karen was an extraordinary drummer. And sometimes, you know, there's performance footage of her singing and playing, which is really hard. Just ask Phil Collins.
That is not easy to do, for sure. You know, you mentioned cheese, and I think we do need a little cheese in the show because it's appropriate with the feelings that we're having at the moment, you know. Kind of complex, but at the same time, hey, you know, this is a fresh start. And, you know, I'm going to go to Nas back in 2003 with I Can. It was an outlier on that 2002 album on which it originally appeared, and then was a single in 2003, big hit. God's Son was the name of the album. That was a pretty serious Nas album. A lot of people said it was somewhat of a return to form for him. But I Can was sort of an inspirational track basically aimed at kids. you know, stay in school, stay off drugs, study hard, kids, stop wasting your time.
Yeah.
I know I can be what I want to be, is the chant that goes on through this song. But I have to say that this, you know, you talk about the charms of 70s AM radio. This was one of those big radio hits that I couldn't get enough of. I know it was cheesy. I know it was catchy, almost like, you know, the flu, some people would say.
It was hip-hop bubblegum.
But it was just wonderful in the sentiment, to hear that sentiment. And these, you know, you put kids' voices on a record, you know, I'm halfway there already.
Another,
you know,
brick call in the wall.
The call and response there, I just love it. So it puts a smile on my face, and maybe it will yours as well. I Can by Nas on Sound Opinions.
B. Before we came to this country, we were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. There was empires in Africa called Kush, Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded, they heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked, slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was the place that Alexander the Great went. He wasn't shocked that the mountains were black faces, shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today, you see. If the truth is told, the youth can grow. They learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters, hoes. Read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing. Hold your head up, little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen. I know I can,
I know I can,
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be,
I'll be where I wanna be.
I know I can,
I know I can,
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
that is I Can by Nas. I should also point out it samples Für Elise by Beethoven.
Ah.
Which, again, talk about childhood memories. Remember Schroeder in the Charlie Brown Christmas special?
Well, I'm flashing.
That's the song he would play.
Young Gregory Cott.
Yes,
he was taking piano lessons.
First song I learned on the piano.
Ah, I knew.
So
that was
there you go. All sorts of childhood memories are sort of swimming through this song.
All right. Well, I'm gonna, for my last pick, get a little bit nostalgic too. Greg, I remember the two of us showing up early at South by Southwest, the music festival in Austin, hopefully not late lamented, hopefully it will happen again one day, to hear a keynote speech. When we were both at the Daily Newspapers, we had to cover the keynote speeches, and there was this surprise performance, had not been touted in advance, by a Texas group called the Polyphonic Spree.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even realize at the time that the Polyphonic Spree was brought together out of the ashes of a band I love very much. Tim DeLofter's previous group, Tripping Daisy, was very much in the mold of Flaming Lips. And now he had recruited a minimum of 12, sometimes as many as double that, fellow musicians, orchestral players, some of them just singers. They were all in white robes. He had grown up in part in the Pentecostal church. And so there was this religious element. And I remember our minds were blown the first time we saw Polyphonic Spree, which was really the first big show they ever had. We later had them on Incarnations of Sound Opinions. It was a group we enjoyed very much. Let me tell you about one of the great stories that got away in my career. I was asked to write an in-depth feature about Polyphonic Spree for a magazine that was just starting up. This was going to be maybe the cover story, but one of the keys of issue number one. And I traveled up and down the West Coast on the bus with 24 musicians, various children, a few roadies, lots of white robes, a huge trailer full of instruments, you know, and I wanted it like on the road with the Polyphonic Spree.
Yeah.
You know, LA up to San Francisco, right? And it was astounding. They lived the optimism and sort of collective communal ethos that was portrayed on stage. They were living it. I wrote the piece. The magazine never came out. I didn't save like somewhere on a hard drive I lost long ago.
Oh,
is that
man.
Piece. I don't know. I wish I could relive that piece. Instead, every time I hear this song, I relive that sense of optimism, of community, of people banding together to bask in the sun. You know, hope has come. You are safe. I'm on my way. Hey, now it's the sun, and it makes me shine. I just, man, it may, I'm happy. I'm so happy. Thank you for continuing to do this show with me, Greg. Everybody, get happy with the Polyphonic Spree. It's the sun. It's the sun, Greg. Among the members of Polyphonic Spree, trivia note.
Yeah, St. Vincent, right?
St. Vincent. Yeah. Annie Clark.
I'm telling you.
And David Bowie loved them. He wanted to make a record with them.
Well, I think one of our producers, Alex Claiborne, also loves them. She said, you just took us to church. We're putting on the white robes right now in honor of that song. And our first show as an independent operation here. And even though we are wrapping up our favorite songs about new beginnings, we do want to hear from you, our listeners. What's your favorite track about a new beginning? Leave us a comment with your answer and why on our Facebook or Twitter. And coming up, we're going to review the new record from singer Margo Price and the posthumous album by Chicago hip-hop artist Juice WRLD. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from Chicago and distributed nationally by PRX. Because I'm
right behind my back, that's how rumors get started, that's how rumors get started.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My partner is Greg Kot. That is a little bit of That's How Rumors Get Started, the title track of the third solo album by Margo Price. Greg, we had Margo as a guest on Sound Opinions, show number 655. Her story, I'll recap briefly, is a great one. Grows up in a small town in western Illinois, moves to Nashville to start out as a singer-songwriter, marries a musician, Jeremy Ivy. They're in a band together. He is still a co-songwriter and musician with her. She has won some really impressive fans. Her first album was put out by Jack White. The new album is produced by superstar Greg Sturgill Simpson. He wasn't that well known when he was just a member of one of her bands on the road. Now he's at the helm, along with some really impressive session musicians, the superstar bassist Pino Palladino, our friend of Sound Opinions, Ben Montench, Tom Petty's keyboardist, and the great soul drummer, James Gadson. But you can't take away the vision and the talent, the voice, and the novelistic eye of Margo Price. We'll get into much more of that that. But first, a song from That's How Rumors Get Started, album number 3 by Margo Price. This is called Prisoner of the Highway.
I grew where I was planted, but I never felt at home. My head was filled with questions, and my feet, they longed to roam. My arms reached out like branches, but my heart just couldn't stay.
Prisoner of the Highway from Margo Price's 3rd studio album, That's How Rumors Get Started. You know, Jim, I remember seeing her in concert in 2018, and even then it was apparent that, oh, she's a female singer-songwriter from Nashville, therefore she must be a country artist. It's almost like you get typecast just by the way you look.
Yeah.
And it was very clear even then that this was not somebody who was going to be typecast. I mean, she did just a scorching cover of that CCR song, Proud Mary, except the Tina Turner version of it, you know?
Yeah.
Just incredible. And you realize what a wide-ranging sense of music she has. When you're talking about country, you're talking about the country of America, which includes blues, gospel, rock, soul. She's incorporating all of those elements into this record. It's eclectic for that reason in a very good way, because at the heart of it, her songwriting holds it together. This is a song about, you know, you spend the first 20 years of your life in one place, basically a nowhere town in a nowhere part of the Midwest, and then you end up spending the next 20 years of your life scrapping and scraping and being on the road trying to make a living as an adult. And this song is really about that transition, and it builds and builds to that song we just played, Prisoner of the Highway. It's the penultimate song on the record. And there's some wrenching lines on here. I sacrificed my family. I sacrificed true love. I sacrificed my unborn child to the heavens up above.
Yeah. I sacrificed my unborn child to the heavens up above.
Oh, there was not a limit to those I would betray.
Not a limit to those I would betray.
Talking about the fact that she lost a child at childbirth, you know, just the personal toll that this life can play on you. So between the subject matter, which is very personal, and the music, which is so, you know, so much variety. I mean, you think of a song like Heartless Mind. It sounds like a new wave track.
Yeah.
You know. You build up to that incredible finale, that wrenching ballad, I'd Die For You.
But honey, I would die for you.
And you think about the Fleetwood Mac kind of reference there in that very first song that we played. That's How Rumors Get Started. You know, very Christine McVie vibe on that song.
Well, I think her secret recipe, Greg, is imagine Fleetwood Mac if instead of Christine and Stevie, it was fronted by Loretta Lynn and Tammy Wynette.
Right.
You know, that's no exaggeration. Yeah. And I'll make another seemingly hyperbolic claim. I think her partnership with her husband, Jeremy Ivey, if there's a more talented duo in modern singer-songwriter, alt country or any other genre today, I think you have to maybe consider Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires, mm-hmm. but it's a close tie. There's a great partnership there. And man, you know, you said very, very personal, but I think right now we are all living in these challenging times, and who can't relate to a line like pennies in a woman's hand, missing teeth, or payment plans?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of us have been forced to wonder, are we one step away, you know,
right.
from not having health insurance, from mm-hmm. not being able to make ends meet? There's a universality. There's also some politics. Now, Sturgill Simpson led fire with both barrels on his recent album. He's producing here. Margo Price is a little bit more low-key You know, she's wondering if the president sleeps at night. Mm. You know, it's from that personal angle. And, you know, you could be on any side of the political divide and relate to a line like that. But this is a brilliant and beautiful album. And, you know, one sin a music critic should never make is to say, I can't wait for the next one. But in all the interviews she's giving, she's talking about a psilocybin-laced psychedelic gospel album.
Yeah.
Man, I want to hear that.
All white Gucci suit, I'm feeling righteous. Yeah, I know that the truth is hard to digest. Yeah, 5 or 6 pixels in my right hand. Yeah, yeah. Run it over on my nightstand. Taking medicine to fix all of the damage. My anxiety the size of a planet. Holes in my skull. Overtime, my heart's
That's a track called Righteous from Juice WRLD's third album, Legends Never Die. Juice WRLD, a.k.a. Jared Higgins, who died in early December 2019 of drug-related cardiac arrest at Midway Airport, just a few days after his 21st birthday. Some of you may be wondering, who is Juice WRLD? He was one of the most popular rappers in the world when he died, and he continues to be one of the most popular rappers in the world in death. What an impact this young man had in his very short life. He grew up in suburban Homewood, was considered somewhat of a musical prodigy at his high school, was a songwriter who was equally influenced by Kurt Cobain and Kanye West, specifically that 808s and Heartbreak record that was a big influence on his writing style. He broke through with a track called Lucid Dreams that repurposed that guitar hook from Sting's 1993 track, Shape of My Heart, and his 2018 major label debut, Goodbye and Good Riddance, sold a million copies on the back of that hit. 2019 follow-up, Death Race for Love, debuted at number one, sold another 500,000 copies. The world seemed to be opening up before this young man's eyes, but he had a consistent issue with drugs that he addresses very frankly in his music, including the new album. We're going to play a track from this record, which has already surpassed another 500,000 in album equivalent units. The track we're going to play from Legends Never Die by Juice WRLD is Come and Go on Sound Opinions.
I try to be everything that I can, but sometimes I come out as being nothing. I try to be everything that I can, but sometimes I come out as being nothing. I pray to God that he make me a better man. Maybe one day I'ma stand for something. I'm thanking God that he made you part of the plan. I guess I ain't go through all that hell for nothing. I'm always funny, been wrecking. It seems like I perfected it. I offer you my love, I hope you take it like some matters. Tell me ain't nobody better than me. I think death is better than me. Hope you see the better in me. Always end up better in me. I don't wanna ruin this one. This type of love don't always come and go. I don't wanna ruin this one. This type of love don't always come and go. I don't wanna ruin this one.
That is Come and Go from the new album by Juice WRLD, Legends Never Die. Greg, as critics, neither of us are very fond of albums that come out where there was little to no control by the artist. What would this album have been if Mr. Higgins had lived to complete it his way? We don't know. What it is here is a really mixed bag from an extraordinary talent that we lost far too soon. It's bloated. 21 tracks, 55 minutes. You mentioned Kanye West's extraordinary introspective 808s and Heartbreak. At its best moments, Legends Never Die evokes that. At its worst, Post Malone, and I think even more disappointingly, at its worst, it sounds like Drake. In terms of that mid-tempo kind of emo hip hop. Woe is me. I've had a tough life. Now, he did have a tough life. He was addicted to prescription drugs. The amount of times he drops references to codeine in particular, which is one of the drugs that was found in his system when he died of an accidental overdose in Chicago at the airport. Half the time, he doesn't have profound things to say. On Bad Energy, feel like I'm losing even though I'm winning. On Titanic, I'm going down like Titanic.
I've been in all ships, it's about to go down. No Titanic, Titanic. There's a lot.
I mean, come on, man. At the end, we get a litany of his talents as a freestyle rapper from some of his friends who sing his praises.
Have you ever seen his freestyles?
Yeah.
They're never ending. You can do it for like an hour.
And,
he makes total sense the entire time and is actually really good, like intricate flow patterns. To me, he was the best freestyle I've ever seen.
I wish we had that kind of lyrical dexterity that they're talking to more present on this record. There are extraordinary moments that are very, very powerful, and then there's just a whole lot of stuff that really needed more time to be worked out, and it's overproduced. Skrillex coming in, and Dr. Luke, and I don't need either of them. You know, it's like, it's just disappointing. I think he was a talent that deserved more.
You know, I don't think it's a particularly a profound album lyrically. There is kind of one topic that he focuses on, but I think that's a lot of what his audience is relating to. I think, you know, when you talk about Post Malone, you know, Post Malone, whether you love him or hate him, is a hook machine, and so is Juice WRLD. You know, they write very catchy songs.
Yeah.
And it is song oriented. There's some singing / rapping on this record. He's not just sort of talking about beats and rhymes, he's talking about pop songs.
I can't breathe, I'm waiting for the exhale. Tuck my pain with my wishes in a wishing well. Still no luck, but oh well. I still try even though I know I'm gonna fail.
And you know, when you talk about emo rap, I mean, he's part of this indie hip-hop movement that has come of age on the SoundCloud platform. You know, artists like Extension and Lil Peep have gone mainstream, and now Juice WRLD with consecutive albums that have been huge sellers at a time when not much has been selling at all. He's clearly speaking for a generation of young people who feel similarly lost and anxious and worried and maybe self-medicating, maybe verging on depression. He's not celebrating the drugs at all. He is definitely saying, I want out of this. I'm trying to figure out a way how. You know, when he talks about, I still try even though I know I'm going to fail, that's about as much hope as we get. So I think my criticism of the record isn't so much that there isn't enough inventiveness on it. I think, you know, that track we just played where he's basically combining rock and sort of that EDM flourish in the middle of it, he's doing some inventive things musically. I think from a standpoint of the lyrics, you know, we would have liked to have seen some more growth, but sadly, a self-fulfilling prophecy in a lot of ways, because this young man died basically living the life he was describing in most of these songs. Well, as you can hear, we've got thoughts, lots of them, on the new Margot Price record and the new Juice WRLD record. What do you think of the new music from these two artists? Leave a comment for us with your opinion on Facebook or Twitter.
Greg, what do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, I love doing these shows. You do, too. We're going to dig deep, get some buried treasures in front of you, records that are beneath the mainstream radar that we think you need to hear.
You can hear more Sound Opinions wherever you get your podcasts or on the newly revamped soundopinions.org. The show was produced by Andrew Gill and Alex Claiborne. Thank you for staying with us, both of you. Greg, we don't often give special thank yous at the end of a show, but there have been so many people hustling over the last few weeks to make it possible for us to continue as an independent production that we have got to give a shout out to some of them. Dino Armiros, Nick Skipateris, Miles Taub and the Goldschmidt Foundation, Brendan Metzger, John Barth, Steve Martin, Bruce Warren, Steve Corey, and Eric Friedman, Nia Tavolaros, thank you. And most of all, thank you, the listener, for sticking with us. You can connect with us on Patreon, Twitter, and Facebook.